Hi everyone, hope you're keeping well. So this week we're looking at Luke 15, which is all about one of the most amazing parts of God's personality, and that's his heart for the lost. The whole gospel is centered around the story of God's desire to be reunited with his people, his children. The very presence of Jesus on earth shows God's desire to literally go to the ends of the earth for the sake of love. And what we find in Luke 15 is a series of three different stories that Jesus told to help us understand his heart. And he's actually saying this in a response to a comment from the Pharisees and teachers of the law who were muttering about Jesus welcoming sinners and even eating with them, asking, what on earth is he doing? Which I think sometimes we can ask the very same question, but about ourselves. What is the King of Kings doing associating with me? But looking at the first story, story of the lost sheep, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but essentially it explains that someone loses one of his 100 sheep, so just 1%. See, I did the maths there. Many people might assume that it would be far too risky to go and leave the 99 sheep in the field, where they could be attacked by wolves or whatever, just to go out and find the one. In business, you might say that it would be far better to focus on the statistics. After all, you've still got most of your herd. But that's not Jesus' heart. That's not the way he works. He actively goes out to find that one lost sheep. He joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he brings it home. Oh, and then he puts on a massive party to celebrate together with friends. Secondly, we hear about the parable of the lost coin. Explains how a woman has 10 silver coins and she loses one of them. But instead of forgetting about it, she lights a lamp. She stays up all night until she finds it again. And then, there's a familiar theme here, she calls all her friends and neighbours round to celebrate when she finds it. And then thirdly, we come to the parable of the prodigal son. This is probably one of Jesus' most famous stories. And again, I'm sure we're all pretty familiar with this one. But I think there are some things here that God wants to speak into our hearts today, following on from the theme that we see in the first two stories. And I just want to take a look at the heart of the Father towards each of the two sons that we hear about. So the story starts by the first younger son coming to the father and asks his father for his inheritance in advance. It's already not exactly what your father would want to hear. In fact, I'm putting it lightly, this is pretty insulting and shaming for the father, you know, much as it would be in today's culture. It was a gesture from the son that essentially he no longer wanted to be under the household and the authority of his father, and wanted to live his life separately elsewhere. It was the equivalent of him saying, I wish you weren't in my life. But perhaps contrary to what we might expect, we hear no protest from the father, and he gives him the money, and the son goes away. So the son runs off, he has some crazy parties, you could probably describe it as a complete blowout, a mad lifestyle, totally disconnected from his family. But of course, it all comes crashing down. And sooner or later, he finds himself washed out in a sty full of pigs, sharing their food because no one would give him anything better. And he gets to the point where he realizes that even his father's servants are living a better life than this. So he decides to go home, beg to his father for a place, even as one of his servants. And by this point, he's fully accepted that the relationship between him and his father is completely destroyed. As he's walking home, he's accepted that it's way beyond the realms of possibility that he could be called his father's son. But here's one of the bits that I love in verse 20. It says, whilst the son was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. How great the love of this father for his son, completely regardless of his lifestyle, life choices, decisions. I'll read that bit again. The first bit again. While he was still a long way off. I think those eight words are certainly something I need to hear, and I think maybe quite a few of us do. How often do we come before God with the barrier of our own status or our own guilt, blocking our ability to speak with him? How often do we just say, oh, I just feel so far from God, and let that be a reason for not experiencing the love of our Father in our lives? I'd really encourage you to spend some time reflecting on those words. But the other thing I love about this is the fact that none of the Father's actions are passive. It doesn't say the Father waits in the doorway for the Son to come and explain himself and beg on his knees for forgiveness. No, instead, he says as soon as he saw his Son, he was filled with compassion, he ran, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And you really couldn't get much further away from a condemning father or one who holds a grudge. Here Jesus is explicit, describing how the Father is a committed, faithful God who actively pursues us. But it doesn't stop there. Then the Father puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, which is a sign of great affection, sandals on his feet, and continuing the theme from the first few stories, orders a party. The Son did everything possible not to deserve compassion from his Father. But through this story, Jesus is explaining very clearly that God's love is not exchanged for currency of good works or moral status. He doesn't give us a bit more when we're on fire for him and a bit less when we drift from him. The Father's heart is for the lost. But what about the older brother? Understandably, the focus of the prodigal son's story is often on the prodigal son. In verse 25, we read, "Meanwhile, the oldest son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, the aforementioned party. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never even given me a young goat so I could go and celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.'" Now often the older son can be painted as the guy who's a bit hard done by. He's the one who's led the good life. He didn't run away from his father or insult him by asking for his inheritance whilst the father was still alive. And if we're honest, I think many of us can relate to how he's feeling. But actually, there are some things here that point to bitterness in his heart, and I think are a challenge for us too. And his problem is not as obvious as the younger son who had run away and partied his inheritance away. The older brother's sin is a bit harder to see. Instead of joy and happiness, he's filled with bitterness. He even starts throwing around some stories that haven't even been mentioned yet, like how his brother's been sleeping with prostitutes. I think his problem is that he's operating on the notion that the relationship with his father and the grace he's given is based on his performance and loyalty. Conversely, he can't understand how the younger son, who did everything against his father, was being treated like royalty and accepted back into the family. His heart is hardened and he can't see past it to the point where he can't even go into the house. Like we heard about in the story of the Good Samaritan a couple of weeks ago, are we so fixed on our own form of righteousness that we miss the point? Are we too concerned with being the morally right ones who never put a foot wrong that we miss the fact that we too, just like the younger brother, can only be called God's children because of his unending grace? When we look at both sons, the father didn't want either of them to be on the outside looking in. Whether it was the younger son working as a servant and looking in on the family, or the older son stood out in the field while the party was in full swing, in both cases there is complete compassion, irrespective of their actions. So can we find ourselves so full of resentment or caught up in a place where we feel we're only validated by God when we meet the standard? Are we still out in the field while the party is going on inside? God calls us to judge ourselves by nothing other than his perfect grace. We don't actually know how the story ends. In fact, I think Jesus leaves the story on a cliffhanger to pose a challenge to the Pharisees who he was speaking to. But what does this tell us about God's heart for the lost? What's Jesus trying to get us to understand through all of this? Well, I think he's trying to get us to understand that he's the God who leaves the 99 and goes to find that one lost sheep. He's the God who stays up all night and takes as long as it takes to search for his treasured children. And he's the God that runs out to hug us and clothe us with compassion. And he does it all even when we are a long way off. So to finish, I think there's two main reasons for all of this, for these stories. The first is so that we can understand the depths of the Father's grace and mercy for us. That his love for us is not based on our performance or our moral standing. He welcomes us home time and time again if we would just start walking towards him and accept him for ourselves. And secondly, that we're ultimately called to be like the Father in this story. We're called to draw on God to show the same love to those around us. Looking at the actions of the Father in this story, that's really not a small challenge. But it means treating the lost people in our lives with the same compassion as is demonstrated so clearly through these stories. In Matthew 25, we read, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" We're called to seek the lost and share the love of the Father. We're not called to settle for the 99, but to seek the one that got away, for the sake of his kingdom here on earth and here in Crewe. And we're called to be the ones who respond with kindness when we're treated in a way that hurts us. We're called to be transformed from being one of the sons to being like the Father who welcomes the lost with open arms. And when we see these relationships healed, we're also called to have a party. His church should celebrate in the same way as the rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents and is able to come with a clean heart before their Creator God. So as we can see some light at the end of this tunnel of lockdown, let's focus our eyes not on seeking out the lost for the sake of duty, but in order to share the love of the Father that was so powerfully shown to us, to those around us.